CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. The radio expertise you rely on. Let's make radio fun again.
The following is an encore presentation from CKUW's archives. Join us next week when the regular host will be back with a few new episodes of original programming.
Welcome back to Ronnie's Relatable Reviews. For the first episode of 2025. A few days ago I went to a New Year's party and found out about some traditions that I was ignorant to. Some of my friends did the grape challenge where you have to eat 12 grapes during the last minute of the year, but there weren't enough grapes so I couldn't participate. I would probably give the grape challenge a 1 out of 10 because I got no grapes, but it would be a 10 out of 10 if I had grapes. We all went outside and lit some sparklers a little after midnight and recorded videos to pretend like we were on time with the sparklers and all counted down in unison. The neighbors probably thought we just had our clocks wrong. I would give sparklers a 7 out of 10. And then some of my friends made sure to unfollow this guy Vexbolts on TikTok, which is a meme that I only found out about on New Year's Eve. It's the guy who made the "Let Him Cook" audio.
Let him cook!
And he's apparently been milking that meme like everyone else who gets famous off a meme. So everybody decided to band together and mass unfollow him. I don't know why everybody was following him in the first place, but I would give Vexbolts like a 3 out of 10. Of course, there's New Year's resolutions, which I never really follow. For this year, I'm going to try and set myself a goal to watch one new movie, one new album, and then one old movie and one old album each week, just so I can stay up to date with the current arts and give myself a chance to watch some oldies that I never gotten around to, and so I have a consistent stream of stuff to review on this show. In conclusion, I would give 2024 probably like a 5 out of 10. Anyways, on to the reviews for the day. On today's schedule, I got 3 2024 albums, ranging from good to mediocre to bad, and ranging from January to July to December. First up, an album that came out July 19th, I Love You So Effing Much by Glass Animals. The only other album that I had heard previously by them was How to Be a Human Being, which wasn't really my cup of tea. It had some great tracks and some very forgettable tracks and some real stinkers of songs. I would give it a 5 out of 10 if you're curious. But this album was quite an improvement. This album has a stronger sonic identity and a stronger level of consistency. The sounds being pulled are really nice. I love the spacey, airy, and synth-heavy dream pop and house-inspired sound of the album. I think sometimes it went a little too overboard with something like Wonderful Nothing being a little too dramatic and overproduced. The opening choir build-up and then the main bassy and piano-heavy style along with the lyrics talking about sucker punching makes it sound like a song made for a boxing movie trailer or something. But besides a few bits and pieces, the production was really stellar. I love the small moments and attention to detail with some minuscule additions to songs like a whistle that lasts a few bars or a rattle noise in the mix of the drum beat or the small moments in the last track Lost in the Ocean where the song just takes a beat for the listener to just breathe and take in the lush and airy soundscape. Really good stuff. So yeah, I love almost all the production, but I'm still not really on board with Dave Bailey, the lead singer. For the most part, he's fine, but on the worst track, A Tear in Space, his singing is honestly really bad. The chorus, "Wata," is very grating and repetitive, and he's really pushing it with his moments of attempting to go really high octave and pull off a falsetto moment. None of their lyrics really pulled me in, and I feel like a lot of the lyrics had the attitude of pretending to be cooler than they really were, like the 3 in the morning moment on Creatures in Heaven, where he's trying to sound like he's pulling off a clever rhyme scheme, but it just sounds like a meme of a rap battle where they try and pull a bunch of double entendres out of nowhere. 3 in the morning, be in the moment, here in the moment, free in the moment, nearly a moment, here for a moment, here is the moment, here for a moment.
Because if you Robin Hood like I'm Robin Hood, then I'm Robin Hood, but I'm Robin Hood.
And then, of course, there were some simply cringe lines, like Dave calling himself scrumptious on Wonderful Nothing. So, yeah, the production, attention to detail, and vibes were top-notch. But I don't think I'll ever fully be on board with Dave Bailey. But overall, quite a good album. Better than I expected. My favorite tracks were Lost in the Ocean, Show Pony, and White Roses. And I would give I Love You So Much a 7 out of 10. Next up in this Descent to Madness is The Skeleton Key, a collab album from The Alchemist and Rock Marciano from mid-December. I'm a huge fan of The Alchemist as a producer. I love his production on his album Bread. I love some of the stuff on Food Villain. I love his production on select Kendrick Lamar songs, namely Meet the Grams from the Kendrick Drake beef. He's just got a huge and impressive catalog. And I'm not well-versed in Rock Marciano. This was the first thing I've really heard him on, but he's clearly got some skill. Clearly two artists who are capable of greatness, but I felt that greatness was really lost on this showcase. There's nothing that's that bad on this album, and in all honesty, I didn't really give this a fair chance, but on first listen, I'm really not into it. I was excited from the first track, which is easily my favorite, Mystery God.
Because we are faced at a time so critical that God himself came, raised up a reminder among us to wake us up.
I love the sample flip and the way the additional dialogue samples are put throughout, but it is a relatively lower energy track, which is good for an opener sometimes. I was expecting the album to be starting with this lower key track that just lays down the tone with a simple introduction to the styles of rock and alk before moving into the meat of the album, the last lyrics even being just getting it started. But the only way to make this really work is to follow that low key opener with a really hard-hitting and driven song, or else it ruins the momentum, in my opinion. Not only does Street Magic, the second song, which is very slow and lacking in percussion, ruin the momentum, but it never really picks up from there. It was just very one note. Each song would probably work as a piece of an album, better structured and suiting around these slower songs, but with an intro that sounds like it's building up to something more, only to find out after the album is over that the opener was the one song with some real compelling song structuring, is just kind of disappointing. My favorite song was Mystery God, and I honestly don't remember like any of the rest of the songs. And I would give this project a 5 out of 10.
Yo, you see the smoke said used to bake and soda made the coke sizzle. The stone was broke to chisel. Continue to the bold, it was little. I'd be rich till I'm old and brittle. Load up the frontal load with enough blow to make the entire ocean ripple.
Now, last but least, is an album that came out way back in January, but I only got around to recently, and that is Saviors, the most recent Green Day album, and it is bad. I imagine it's better than their album before this one, Father of All, because I heard that project was just awful, but this newest project is not good either. This is just some real corny old man rock. Just a bunch of stale, crumpled up, processed rock songs with a few good nuggets. There's a few especially noteworthy tracks. One-Eyed Bastard is the first abomination of the album. The opening several seconds contains all the overdone garbage that continues throughout the song. It opens with a melody derivative of So What by Pink, and then it transitions immediately into the musical theater villain monologue type piano, followed quickly by the very tired Ayos, and the even tireder sea shanty pirate sing-along sound for the chorus that are packed with some very cheesy lines like Vendetta is a friend of mine, revenge is sweeter than wine, and of course with the bada bing bada bing bada boom chorus, a really notably bad song.
You won't be laughing when I'm making you cry.
Corvette Summer is the second abomination, probably the worst lyrics on the whole album, talking about effing it up on his rock and roll, dropping a bomb on his rock and roll, just meaningless poop writing. Combine the uninspired lyrics with the awkward sounding harmonies, cringy ad-libs, overproduced soundscape, and misplaced cowbell, just lends to a recipe for a stinky song. I think they were making an 80s glam rock attempt at a summer jam, and it just comes off as very embarrassing.
Get around, I can get around, put it up on my rock and roll.
Besides those two especially bad songs, Goodnight Adeline and Father to a Son are pretty good. Especially Father to a Son, which is really the only song that I would ever consciously listen to again, like on purpose. And then the rest of the songs are forgettable. I'm really left with almost nothing after 46 minutes of music, except for the memory of anger for most of this project. My favorite songs were Father to a Son, Goodnight Adeline, and I guess Living in the 20s. And I would give Saviors a 3 out of 10, and the honor of worst album I listened to that came out in 2024.
Father to a Son.
And that's it for the album section of the review. But as I was writing this, Alchemist, the producer of Skeleton Key, dropped a new song called Floppy Disk. And for the first time in a while, I think, since some of his debut stuff, he's rapping on it. There's no feature rapper. He's the rapper on it. And he's not the best lyricist. It's clear he's a little bit rusty at rapping. His flow isn't great. But what really carries the song is that he's clearly having fun with it. Some of his bars are really good, it's just they don't always flow great. But again, the best part of the song is just the Alchemist is clearly having fun with it. The production is great, it's very whimsical and wobbly, and it's great to hear Alk being whimsical. And I would give that song probably like a 7.5 out of 10, earning it the best thing on the episode.
When they fall in, it sound like a tree in the forest. As it shows, everybody repeating the chorus. Zodiac, Scorpio, my G is a Taurus. Dusting off old discs, I keep in storage.
And that's pretty much all I got for you today. Check out Review Ronnie on Instagram for more info and past episodes of my show. And before you listeners leave, it's time for Ronnie's Joke of the Week. What would you call a collab album between the artist who made Floppy Disk and Skeleton Key and Slipknot? Full Metal Alchemist.
Full Metal Alchemist.
See you next time on Ronnie's Resentful Reviews.
Full Metal Alchemist.
Welcome back to Ronnie's Roomy Reviews. I haven't been in the studio for the past couple weeks because I was sick, but I'm doing better now, and I've been consuming some art. Today I got a simple one-movie, one-album formula for you, starting with a new thriller movie that came out in April called Drop.
How's this date going?
Drop, rated PG-13, only in theaters April 11th.
The film revolves around a widowed mother recovering from surviving an abusive relationship who has decided to get back out there in the dating world. She's going on her first date in years at a fancy skyscraper restaurant when suddenly, during the dinner, she starts receiving airdrops of strange memes. Strange memes that are becoming increasingly worrying. Memes using her name, memes threatening her, before she eventually gets an anonymous chat invitation from a stranger who starts instructing her to do things or else they'll hurt her son at home. She checks her security cameras and sure enough, there's a masked figure at her home. So she must do whatever this person instructs her to do without telling her date and while trying to figure out who in the restaurant is secretly tormenting her. Pretty neat premise. Did the execution follow through? Yeah, mostly. It's a pretty good movie.
You need help?
Shot of tequila never killed anybody, right?
I'll kill you if you hurt my son.
Drop.
The editing and technical choices were really, really great. Throughout the movie, as she receives these messages, huge neon white representations of these texts boom on the screen, and the in-your-face thriller score matches that intensity. I could definitely see someone thinking the music and over-the-top visual edits were a little too cheesy, but they were very effective for me, and I was consistently stressed out of my mind. Some of the camera and framing choices were really stellar. There's a comic relief waiter character, and even just the way he was framed in the first scene with him at an uncomfortable low angle to complement the distrust she feels for everyone in the restaurant and to complement his bad jokes is just really simple but effective choice making. Not only did it make the scene funnier, but it gave it a small dose of stress in an otherwise average scene that was needed. The camera work for a later fight scene was really sick. The impressive lighting changes really worked for me to enhance the experience. There were several moments where we would zoom out or in, and the lighting would shift to where everything would go dark except for one person. And it was very over the top, but it just worked, and the deep guttural booming score helped as well. So far, everything was going pretty great, and I was enjoying the mystery and the ways in which he was unraveling, until they unfortunately really flubbed the big twist ending. From what I've seen, the relatively small amount of people who actually watched this movie all kind of agreed that the ending really wasn't it. I don't think it completely ruined the whole movie, but they literally packed every possible cliche into the climax. I can't really explain it without revealing a lot, so huge spoiler warning ahead. They had the character says main character's name followed by I didn't tell you my name cliche. They had the main character's voice to poison other characters but doesn't and then poisons the villain cliche. They had the secondary character taking a bullet for the main character cliche. They had the you missed but they were actually aiming for something else cliche. They had the character pulled up from a ledge cliche. I hope this portion of the review doesn't sound too much like CinemaSins, but I have good faith arguments on that now. They even had the Jurassic Park kitchen scene archetype where the thug in the main character's house is walking around the corner. Granted, some of these would not be noteworthy on their own, but piled all together, it's pretty obnoxious. It's simply a very lame climax, slapped between a really gripping and intense everything else. So with all that considered, I still enjoyed the movie and would give it a 6 out of 10 overall, just bogged down a bit by the third act drop in quality. Next on the docket is the newest mixtape from Pink Pantheress, a young artist famous from her hits Pain and That Boy's a Liar. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, now I'm entering my bed. Had a few dreams about the boy's a liar, the boy's a liar, he doesn't see ya. I really love that song Pain, and I've been a bit of a passive fan for a bit, and her newest project, I'm happy to say, was as good as I was hoping. It's an electronic sample-heavy pop record, and it's great. I enjoyed nearly the entire track list. The opener, Illegal, is a banger starting point. The song samples an old 90s dance song, and I like how she flips it to give the sample a whole new feel and texture, even though it isn't very manipulated. The vocals and lyrics impressed me as well. What I thought at first was just a song about sex or some guy turns out to be about the negative effects of weed that Pink Pantheress has experienced, or as she described, a weed diss track. It's really well written and works as a sort of double meaning. Hey, is this illegal? Hey, it feels illegal. Next up is Girls Like Me, and it's the only track that I didn't really love. It samples two Basement Jack songs, a well-respected electronic artist, and she uses them to good effect. It's not a bad song, but I found it was too repetitive and lacking a real memorable verse to break up the long last chorus. It's a bit dull and probably the weakest on the project for me. Tonight is another good track. It's a very sexually charged song that samples Panic at the Disco for like the first 2 seconds. The ad-libs in the song are really satisfying and the emotions of the song are very well communicated. It's a very simple but brain-scratching song. Just catchy and fun. You'll fix me, uh-huh. Come on to me. Come on, fix me, uh-huh. Stars is one of the funner tracks. I like the DJ collage sampled sound to the whole project, and I really love the sample for the chorus on this song especially. This is also another track that has a light dancey vibe with a sort of darker undertone. This song, I think, is really about the drug underbelly in the UK, from what I could tell, and the paranoia and mistrust that comes with dealing with those issues. The story of the song is essentially about seeing someone who has connections to drug dealers, and that side of the relationship spilling into her life. The chorus being a sample from Just Jack's Stars in Their Eyes. To me, it reads as a message to the people who introduced these drug problems in the UK. And there's even a bridge where she's on a phone call with one of her boyfriend's drug dealers. Definitely one of my favorites on the album. Although Noises is a very short little song, it's very dense with the instrumentals. Immediately, the song opens with the collage of a guitar riff from a 2000s hip-hop track called Sun Toucher, and a subtle background beatboxing sample from the 80s that plays throughout. Then there's the trap vocal sample on the chorus from Who Wants Smoke by Nardo Wick. It's very goofy, but to me it works very well. The song offers a very simple concept about the fear of being home alone, which seems to tie into the surprisingly prevalent themes in this album of drugs and paranoia. It's a concise and bite-sized song, but I really enjoy it. What the fuck is that? What the fuck is that? Nice to Know You is one of the most emotional tracks on the mixtape. That's in no small part thanks to the great production, with the chorus vocal sample already being from a very emotional song, Spiral by William Orbit, and layering that with an incredible string sample from the electronic song It's Too Late by The Streets. That combined with the lyrics touching on themes on losing a friendship make this track hit pretty hard. Stateside is a fun little tune about falling in love with some American fellow. According to Pink, this is her favorite track on the project, and apparently the song marks her giving up on British men, which seems to tie into some themes of animosity towards the UK at this time. I really like this track, and I like the drum sample from a 90s R&B track called Freak Like Me, and the chorus is catchy as hell. Romeo is an incredible closer with another Basement Jack sample from the guitar riff taken from Good Luck. This song features maybe my favorite chorus on the whole project. The emotions are at the highest intensity on this song, at least for me. This track doesn't have the most complex lyrical content, but the intense string instrumental and beautiful vocals make for a very compelling last song. It's basically a Romeo and Juliet fanfic song set in a modern style, and it's a pretty cool concept. Overall, I was surprised at how much I had to say about a 20-minute mixtape, but as I listened and researched, I found a lot of interesting stuff. I really need to go back and listen to more of her stuff because I'm incredibly impressed by the production, largely done by Pink Panthers herself, and the lyrical and instrumental compositions were consistently stellar. It's also just a very easy project to listen to. Despite not listening to this too long ago from when this episode is airing, I've listened to the whole mixtape multiple times at this point. It's a great time. My favorite tracks are Stars, Romeo, and Noises, and I give Fancy That an 8 out of 10. My name's Pink and I'm really glad to meet you. You're recommended to me by some people. That's all I have for you today. Check out Review Ronnie on Instagram for more info on the show. And before I let you listeners go, it's time for Ronnie's Joke of the Week. What would you call a collab between the artist who made Fancy That and Chapel Roan? Pink Panther Club. See you next time on Ronnie's Romeo Reviews.
Hey, Ronnie.
Good reviews?
Fabulous reviews.
This is Ronnie. Make it good.
Just as though Ronnie could have been a
reviewer.
It's Ronnie, all right.
Ronnie Reviews.
Fabulous reviews.
And this is the best review we got.
From the University of Winnipeg, this is CKUW 95.9 FM, Campus Community Radio.
It's that time of year again. CKW's Fun Drive starts on February the 6th and goes till February the 20th. CKW is a community-focused alternative to mainstream media. We believe in community access to mass media. Every summer, CKW does Radio Camp, a free two-week day camp for kids aged 10 to 17 in Winnipeg's inner city. It is through listener donations that Radio Camp exists. Go to fundrive.ckw.ca to donate.
Generous support to CKUW 95.9 FM is provided by Into the Music, quality collectible music since 1987. Into the Music is located in the Exchange District, 245 McDermott at the corner of King Street. To receive our twice weekly newsletter, call the store or go online at intothemusic.ca to sign up. Kick off your Friday evenings at 7:30 with us at our in-store stage for free all-ages shows featuring local bands and performers.
Please consider the Meta World Stupid Loop show on CKUW 95.9 FM every Wednesday 2 to 4 p.m.
With your CKUW Friends card, you are supporting CKUW 95.9 FM and our friends in the community. 100% of your donations go to the general operations at CKUW 95.9 FM. With a Friends card, your dollars get more at
Dooley Records at 557 Portage Avenue. Dooley Records is a crate digger's paradise with vintage vinyl, tapes, and CDs added weekly. With spine-tingling vinyl, cassettes that won't put you in debt, and CDs, well, you just got a CD's compact disc with your 10% discount.
Join CKUW's community of support by donating $35 during Fun Drive in February to get a Friends card and get access to more deals around Winnipeg.